Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, February the 2nd, and a very pretty day here in the Dallas, North Texas, Dallas area. We're going to talk a little bit today about impeachment and some of the things that we're hearing about the Democrats. They're really trying to do something about the courts, and I want to get into that in a minute, but I got to begin with a story that I just saw here in the last 5 minutes before starting the podcast. And this is a story from Variety Magazine. Now, Variety Magazine is a Hollywood magazine. They write a great deal about the movie business, the TV business, the entertainment business. I think it goes back the magazine goes back a long time, and they have an amazing article that came out, and I read it in Hot Air. I would recommend all of you who follow hotair.com to check out this article, and it's by our friend Ed Morrissey, who's writing quite a bit over at Hot Air. He's a great, he's an absolutely wonderful columnist, and Variety Magazine is reporting that CNN saw a crash of 44% in primetime ratings in the first week of the Biden administration, meaning, I guess that would be the last week of January, and I guess the last 2 weeks. We'll just say the last 2 weeks that he's been president. So their ratings have fallen 44%. Now, they're going to pick up a little bit because of the impeachment. That'll bring some people back. But they're never going back to the levels before. And you really have to wonder, and we've talked about this before, we have speculated, what are these networks going to do without Trump? I mean, if they don't have Trump 24/7, what are they going to do? Well, I think we are beginning to see what they're going to do. They're going to lose a lot of ratings because people are just not going to, they're just not going to follow this 24/7 anti-Trump, because there's no Trump after a while. I mean, how can you be talking about something all the time that isn't there? So this is going to be a real shockwave, I would have to think, over at CNN. Now, again, it's 1 month. Maybe they'll pick up, but I don't think they're going to pick up, honestly. I think that this drop is probably going to be fairly typical of where they're going to be in 2021, and frankly, they deserve it. They made a big business decision about 3 years ago, CNN. You know, CNN, before Trump, was kind of a boring network. They were left, but they were not outrageously left. I mean, it was not a crazy left-wing organization. But with Trump, they became the anti-Trump network, and that's because they wanted to compete with MSNBC, that was really the crazy left-wing network. But they wanted to be the anti-Trump network. So as long as they had Trump, you know, they had Trump to beat up with, and they had, you know, 2 million, whatever it was, every night of people watching, because they just wanted to hear how bad Trump was. Without Trump, they have nothing. And how they come back together, how they pick up from this, I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see CNN put up for sale. They're already for sale, from what I understand. And don't be surprised if you see some changes, some real big changes over at CNN. But I thought this was a fascinating story, because it confirms what we've been hearing, that as soon as Trump was gone, many of these networks were just going to go out with him, because they have built themselves around talking about nothing but Trump. So it reaches a point where people say, you know what? What are we going to talk about? You know, there's no Trump. What are we going to talk about? So anyway, interesting story. I would recommend that you go over to hotair.com and read this article by Ed Morrissey. It is absolutely fascinating. Well, let's talk a little bit about the courts. You know, one of the great things that President Trump did was that he put a lot of good judges in the courts, three in the Supreme Court, and then, of course, a bunch of judges around the country. Well, these judges are going to be President Biden's biggest headache, because if he tries to do anything like some of these executive orders, he's going to run into these judges who are going to say, no, you really cannot do that because that's not constitutional. No, you cannot do that because that's not constitutional. And it's going to be very frustrating for President Biden and for the Democrats. So the Democrats are obviously, you know, they understand that they have a problem with the courts, so they're trying to see how they can, you know, get rid of the problem. There's talk about packing the Supreme Court. Well, that's going to be very difficult to do. I don't think they'll get there. They'll talk about it, but I don't think they're going to get there. But the other thing they're talking about is maybe increasing the number of courts. So what they want to do is they want to put liberal judges in the court system. So if let's say right now you've got 12 districts, they say they increase it to 20 districts, and then they get to put in the judges that would fill in those extra districts. It's probably going to take 60 votes to do that, but the Congress can do it. The Congress determines how many judges we have and how they're broken up and so on. I wouldn't put anything beyond the Democrats at this point, because I think the Democrats understand that they have a very short window of opportunity. I think they know that 2022 is probably not going to be good for them. And they also know that President Biden is going to pretty soon start seeing some real problems with the gasoline prices. And I think there's a coming crisis on the border that is going to make President Biden highly unpopular. So anyway, I just think that keep an eye on that. But the Democrats clearly want to break up the courts and somehow undo, not necessarily undo because those judges are in for a lifetime, but increase the number of judges so that you've got more judges with more possibilities to write opinions. It's going to be interesting, but the Democrats know that they've got to change the courts. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to get anything done because these judges are going to stop them along the way. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and again, that story about CNN is really, really interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit about impeachment. The trial begins next week, and President Trump has a legal team. The first thing they're going to do, from what I understand, they're going to challenge the constitutionality of the trial, which I think makes a lot of sense to me, because I don't know how in the world you impeach or remove from office a man who's not in office. I mean, the whole point of impeachment and the trial in the Senate was to remove a president in the event that the president had committed, had done something illegal. Well, in this case, he's not in office anymore. So what are you going to do to him? You're going to say you're guilty. Guilty of what? You know, what's the penalty? So it is really very difficult waters that the Democrats are navigating here. The other thing, and I really hope that the defense team touches on this, and that is that we have information from the FBI that there was a lot going on that day that had nothing to do with the speech by President Trump. There was clearly people in that crowd who had come there with the intention of creating trouble. In fact, we now know that the FBI had warned the House and the Capitol about this, and that the irresponsibility of that is amazing to me. You had the Vice President of the United States in that room, and he could have been killed easily or kidnapped by these people. And there was no sense of support or guarding that Capitol. That Capitol should have been guarded by whoever guards the Capitol, and there should have been enough forces to at least stop this before it even got within the Capitol. So that'll probably come out in the trial. My guess is that this is going to be a quick trial. I don't think the Democrats want to go into a long trial, and I don't think you're going to have witnesses. I think it's going to be pretty much over with in a couple of days. If it goes a lot longer than that, then I think the Democrats are going to suffer because the information is going to come out, and it's not going to be pretty, and especially these videos that they have of Democrats talking about violence. I mean, these Democrats basically endorsing or certainly not showing any contempt for the violence that we saw during 2020 in some of our cities. So, you know, if the Democrats want to play this game, I think that we should play it too and just give it right back to them. But I don't think they will. I think they're smart enough to know that this is probably not a good idea. You know, I have a post over at the American Thinker today talking about Tom Brady, who's going to be playing in Super Bowl number 10 on Sunday. And Tom Brady, it's an amazing story. I mean, it's from a sports standpoint, it's an amazing story for a man to play in his 10th Super Bowl. I mean, nobody's even close to that. I think four is the most that anybody has ever played, and that was Terry Bradshaw or Joe Montana, who played in four. Here you're talking about 10. I mean, that's an incredible number. So he is in territory, you know, he's walking on territory that nobody has been on before. But Tom Brady may very well be the only one who can save the NFL. You know, the NFL for the last two seasons has been flirting around with politics. It all started with Kaepernick a couple of years ago, kneeling, and, you know, the players kneeling and not standing up for the national anthem. And there's no question that the NFL took a beating from all of this. No question about it that they took a beating. The ratings have taken a beating. And I know friends of mine who are not watching it. Now, I've not given up the entire NFL, but yes, I've cut back on some of my watching. You know, certainly I'm not the fan I used to be, let me put it that way. And a lot of it has to be with my own objections to what the NFL players were doing. But here comes Tom Brady, who's a very popular player, a player who I think connects with much of the audience, conservative audience, who's upset with what the players was doing. I think that Tom Brady could very well save the NFL, or at least take the NFL back to where it used to be, in much the same way that Cal Ripken, if you remember a few years ago when Cal Ripken stood up and saved Major League Baseball after that big strike, you know, when Ripken was chasing Lou Gehrig's record, and the whole country tuned into that, and that sort of made baseball fun again. I think Brady could very well do that. I don't know if Brady's going to win on Sunday, but I think it would be good. It would be good for the country, and I think it would be great for the NFL if Tom Brady won on Sunday, because the NFL really needs a good story. And Tom Brady is that story without any question. Well, it looks like the mayor of Chicago is going to force the opening of the schools. Good luck with that. I think the teachers' unions are out of control, as we talked about in a previous show. The teachers' union has done more to promote homeschooling and private schools than anybody else. And I think they're shooting themselves in the foot. I really do. And hopefully the kids can get back in school, because that's where they need to be, back in school. All this nonsense about, you know, virtual learning, it's a good thing. I'm not opposed to it. Don't misunderstand me. I think in some cases it works very well. And if there are kids with health issues or teachers with health issues, I completely support that they should teach virtually. They don't want to run the risk, of course, of getting worse. But most of the teachers and most of the students are not in that boat. The Catholic schools and many of the private schools are operating without any problems, and I think we got to get the public schools to operate so that these kids can get an education. Many of them are falling behind. They're also creating a lot of problems for their parents, because these parents cannot teach these kids at home or keep track of the kids at home while they're doing their own jobs at home. You know, the number of mothers working from home, and then on top of that, she's going to supervise the kids now. It's not working. So they got to get back to school. And if the teachers' union don't want to work, hey, they can get another job, as far as I'm concerned. I want to take a minute today and remember a friend of our family, Grant Jackson, who passed away today. Grant had just turned 78. He was a Major League Baseball player, and that's how we got to know him many years ago. He played with the Orioles and with the Pirates, and a family friend and an absolutely wonderful human being, a great family man, great father, great husband, everything you could ask for in a friend, in a human being. That was Grant Jackson. So I want to wish his widow, Millie, my best sympathies, and to his family, his daughters, wish him the very best, his son. And we remember Grant. He was just an absolutely wonderful guy, and a pretty good relief pitcher, when he came in from the bullpen. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.